Welcome back to TechNet Radio. Bob Hunt and Jose Barreto join us for today's show as they discuss Windows Server 2012 Hyper-V support for remote file storage using SMB 3.0. Tune in as they discuss the basic requirements for Hyper-V over SMB, as well as its latest enhancements and why this solution is an easy and affordable file storage alternative. Bob, the mic is yours.
So welcome everyone to IT Time today and TechNet Radio. My name is Bob Hunt. I'm an IT Pro Evangelist out of New York. Who I have here with me today is Jose Barreto in the Windows Server product group. I'll let you introduce yourself.
Hello there. My name is Jose Barreto. I'm a program manager with the file server team. And for Windows Server 2012, I worked closely with the scenario for storage with virtualization, or as we like to call it, Hyper-V over SMB.
Excellent. Thank you, Jose. So the topic of today's discussion is just that. It is Hyper-V over SMB. So Windows Server 2012 has a major upgrade to the virtualization component, namely Hyper-V. One of the major areas of change is the ability to run virtual machines over server message block, or SMB, and that's what the topic of today's TechNet Radio discussion is. So, you know, just to get started, for our viewers' sake, Hyper-V over SMB is just that. So your ability to have virtualization where your host computer, essentially the Windows Server 2012 server, has essentially a storage location where the virtual machine needs to run. Typically in the past with Hyper-V, that needed to be commingled with the host server. It needed to be running local on the same Windows server where the virtual machine was running. And that's no longer the case. Now we have the ability to run these virtual machines over server message block, or SMB3, and that's what we're here to talk about. So did you want to elaborate on that a little bit, Jose?
Sure. Yeah. In the past, Hyper-V always supported local storage. That's a given, as we call it, directly attached storage. For highly available scenarios, though, and most people do want their VMs to be highly available, we have to use some sort of shared storage. So up to this point, it would be either iSCSI SANs or Fibre Channel SANs. And those were your options: directly attached storage, iSCSI, Fibre Channel, and now we're adding this file storage option, which gives you an easier to use, flexible storage mechanism that is also shareable. So in this case, unlike DES, you can actually share the solution between different Hyper-V machines. And we also are working here with Storage Spaces, which is another DAS solution that can also be used in a cluster. So now you have a few new choices for Hyper-V storage. File being one that I typically talk about, the flexibility that it offers, because when you think file storage, you already know how to use it, create a share, grant permissions, and then you're off and running. And this is enough to get you going for a cluster Hyper-V setup, highly available VMs, which is many times a requirement for folks.
That's great. So essentially, this is the first time where the virtual machine storage does not have to be directly attached to the host computer itself. So as you mentioned, iSCSI or Fibre Channel or some other type of directly attached storage. So in this case, we're able to put it out over a file share. Right, essentially now you're managing this on file storage. It doesn't have to necessarily be on a server that has iSCSI storage. It, you know, could it actually be sitting on the direct attached storage on another server? I could just have two servers with locally attached storage and have one have the host the VMs and the other one not. That's correct?
Yes, and that level of flexibility, right, that you can actually have a set of machines that have a simple way to share their storage is an interesting one. And this gives you more flexibility. You see, when you're talking block storage, especially in a cluster setup, you have very specific rules on how this block storage needs to be shared. So for instance, if you're sharing, say, an iSCSI LAN across a set of Hyper-V machines, first of all, they all have to be in a cluster, and everyone in the cluster has to see the same set of LANs, the same set of iSCSI LANs, and if you have two clusters, they have to use separate sets. So it's a very rigid way of configuring these things. When you switch to SMB storage or file server storage, essentially you can just have three, four machines not in a cluster, or just in the domain, and you can share that storage. Obviously, you can create a cluster out of that, but you don't have to have every cluster using a separate set. You could actually have two, three clusters that all share the same file share. In fact, with the right permissions, you can move machines from one cluster to another without moving the storage. So this kind of flexibility you can't achieve with regular block storage because you have very strict rules there.
That's great. So is this Hyper-V or SMB, do you think this is a real big win for the small to medium-sized business, or do you think this is something that you know, that enterprises are going to fully embrace?
Yeah, so that's an interesting question. I mean, if you think about it, there are multiple different setups that you could build. So the simplest possible way to do it is get one box, configure it as a file server, and get a few other boxes configured as Hyper-V hosts, and then you have a very inexpensive way to share storage. Granted, if you have a single standalone file server, that is not fault tolerant, although you might gain some flexibility in moving VMs around, and you might have some flexibility if you have a virtual machine host that needs to go on maintenance, you can move those virtual machines to another box and keep running. That's still not a highly available solution. Maybe for a test environment, for a setup that doesn't have this high availability requirement, you're okay there.
Okay, that's great.
But if you go with the enterprise, what you might want to do is you want to go for a highly available solution. So we also have file server solutions that are in dual node clusters where you have the high availability, and combining with the storage spaces solution that we now have in Windows and some shared disks between two boxes, you can actually get a highly available, very efficient solution that enterprises might enjoy as well. And we're throwing in some high-speed networking in the mix. So this thing can actually go way up in the performance scale, even past what we can get today with Fibre Channel.
Okay, that's great. So I guess the next most important thing is that this is usable for both the small and medium business as well as the enterprise. Let's talk a little bit about how this might integrate with an existing environment, right? A good percentage of our customers already have some type of virtualization from Microsoft or otherwise. How would you anticipate this starting to be rolled out when you already have, say, an existing Hyper-V environment?
Well, there is some level of flexibility there, but I want to make clear that this solution requires SMB 3.0, and it requires Windows Server 2012 Hyper-V. So there are a number of changes that we put in there. So for instance, we added transparent failover to the file server cluster. We added multi-channel to the SMB protocol. So these are fault tolerance abilities. And when we were designing this with the Hyper-V team, it was clear to us that in order to get this solution used for virtualization, we needed something that was available that could survive, for instance, the failure of a file server node, the failure of a NIC. So we went with the decision to say we must use SMB 3.0. Even if you use a third-party implementation of SMB, which can be done, we do require SMB 3.0, and we highly recommend that you have a cluster setup if you're going with production. Now, having said that, typically what it takes to move a Hyper-V VM now with the new capabilities and Windows Server 2012, essentially you have to transfer those files to the location where the file server is and import. So remember there were lots of challenges of importing virtual machines in the past. In Server 2012, this is extremely straightforward. You just basically point to the folder, and this could be a file share folder, and then you import that machine into Hyper-V in Windows Server 2012. So there is a transition to be made, but we believe it's going to be a smooth one.
That's great. So you'd be able to import, say, a Hyper-V 2.0 virtual machine into Windows Server 2012 and do the conversion from the VMD to, from VHD to VHDX?
Yeah, so we have also these tools to make the transition. And you don't have to use VHDX. You can continue to use VHD. We do recommend going to VHDX, but you can do it at your own pace. And those things, I think, are part of the flexibility piece, right? When you go to virtualization, you do it because it's easier to move things around and easier to migrate. And I think we did have challenges in the past in the import phase, especially when, you know, the network configuration that you had before doesn't match the new network configuration. But if you look at the way the new import happens, it's much improved.
That's great. All right, so we've talked a good bit about Hyper-V over SMB. Now, you have a demo to show us some of this live?
Yeah, sure. Let me show you a bit of it. So this is the demo environment that I wanted to show you. It's actually an interesting test environment that I have here in my office. I have a couple of Hyper-V machines, a couple of file server machines, and I cluster them both. So in this case here, what you see is I have my file server, a classic file server where I have my file shares, and it's the same type of cluster environment that you are familiar with. And I also have this new scale-out file server, which is a simpler, more flexible version of the file server that we have now. And the scale-out file server, the difference is, first of all, there's less to configure, and it's active on all cluster nodes at the same time. So compared to the old way we did, where you have an active file server node and the other one just waiting for the other to have any issues and take over. In this case, when I'm using the scale-out file server, I have all my nodes active, and I could have a 4-node, 8-node file server cluster serving a few hundred Hyper-V hosts if you wanted to. And I do have a few disks here. You can see some are CSVs that are used by the scale-out file server, so the cluster shared volume can now be used for file sharing. And I have also some of the traditional cluster disks and my witness disk. And on the network side, there's also something interesting here. I'm using RDMA interfaces. So these are these new, more efficient RDMA interfaces what you used to be only for high-performance computing. Now we have them for file server, and in this case, I'm using this as my communication between the Hyper-V hosts and my file server cluster. And notice I have two of them. The reason is because we now can both aggregate using SMB multi-channel, and also if you lose one or someone pulls a cable on one of them, we will continue transparently to work without any perceived outage for the Hyper-V host. So that's network fault tolerance and node fault tolerance there. Now let's switch over to the Hyper-V side. I'm going to click over here and switch. Now you're seeing my Hyper-V environment, one of my two Hyper-V nodes. And what you see here is I have a couple of VMs running for quite some time, actually, for 7 days or so. And when I see here the configuration, if you look at the settings, what you're going to see is the main difference between a regular VM and a VM using SMB is that when I look at the configuration here for my hard drive, you see that instead of a drive letter colon folder or something, you have what we call UNCPath. So this is a remote file share. So // FST2FS is the name of my server, and VMs is the name of my share. So that's pretty much it. It's all you have to do. Of course, you have to grant permissions for this Hyper-V host to have access, but this is done through the familiar permissions and file shares that you all already know how to do. I can also show you the other one, which is the using the scale-out file server. Again, similar way from a client perspective, the new scale-out and the classic file server, they look the same. And so you can see that I have my VM running here. So inside the VM, which might be interesting to some folks, when I go look at my disk resources, you actually only see a disk. So from the VM's perspective, as usual, right, the VM doesn't know what's going on. It thinks it has a local disk, but this disk is actually a VHD file, VHDX in this case, that's sitting on a file share on my file server cluster, which is the interesting new capability here. Now, I talked about flexibility. One of the things that I can do here, if I go back to my file server cluster, and you look at my node, I can actually, while the VM is running, I can do a failover. So I can go here and say move to another node. So you see that I was a little bit of a stop and I'm pending the file server being online again. And if while this is running, I go back to my Hyper-V server, you see that the VM is still running, that I still have my VM accessible to me, and everything is still up and running. And this is essentially the story, right, that you can have transparent failover between nodes, and the failover between nodes takes a few seconds, but this is all transparent to the Hyper-V host. So in short, this is what the new story is about, the flexibility of doing it this way. It is also the ability that when you need to do maintenance on your environment, you can do all that, you can move resources around, and it's all done through file protocols, which is the whole spiel. There are also some scenarios that we can talk later about, maybe when we get back together, explain some of the new capabilities, like the way you can migrate VMs more freely without clusters and all that.
That was a great demo, Jose. That's really a lot of information. You know, for our viewers, you can see that there is a good bit more of configuration options available inside of Hyper-V. So you can be sure to check back to mine or Jose's blog, because we're going to be doing a few more of these sessions to really dig into the new features of Hyper-V. So this wraps the session for the Hyper-V over SMB. I encourage you guys to continue to check out our blogs. You know, mine is bobhunt.net. Jose, how do they get to your blog?
I have a new vanity URL. You can just go to smb3.info.
Fantastic. All right. Well, thanks everyone for watching, and be sure to check back, and we'll have more for you guys to see very soon.
All right. Thank you.